Please be seated, folks. It's great to be with you again this morning. My name is Karen, in case I haven't yet met you. I'm on the ministry team here. And since I last was with you and able to share God's word with you, I've got a new attire that I'm allowed to wear, so that's a bit exciting. Well, we're continuing on in our Sunday series on this idea of what is Jesus doing now? This time between his ascension back to the Father and the time when he's going to come back and take us to be with him. What's he up to? What's he doing? And today we're looking at this truth that he is interceding for us. Now, interceding, it's probably not a word that we use all that often, really. Intercession, interceding, what does it mean? We might think of it as a go-between, someone who's speaking up or representing one person to a third party. Perhaps you might think of somebody like a diplomat. They use their voice to represent the interests of their country, interceding in a formal way before the government of another nation. You might even think of a politician, a good one, who is the voice of their people before the parliament, a go-between. Well, a priest is also an intercessor. In fact, that was their main role in the Old Testament times. They were the go-between between God and his people. And the dictionary has a useful slant on this as well. It says that interceding is about a person with influence speaking up or pleading for someone else in a position of need, using their influence to speak to change things for those who can't speak in the same way and change things for themselves. That's interceding. So if we turn first to the Hebrews passage, and those of you who like to have it in front of you, go back to Hebrews chapter 7. There's a lot going on in that passage, and I just want to put my cards on the table. I'm not going to try and cover it all. For example, I'm not even going to mention Melchizedek, except to say that I'm not going to mention him. He's a rather enigmatic character. If you want to know more about what he's doing here in Hebrews chapter 7, come and chat to us, me or Greg or even Norma maybe, later on. But I do want us to notice in this passage that Jesus is called a priest. And not just any priest, a priest forever. One who is able to save completely, verse 25, those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede, to be a go-between between God and the people. You see, Jesus is alive right now. And what's he doing? He's interceding for us. And he is the ultimate intercessor. He's the ultimate priest because his intercession really works. That's the point of the Hebrews passage. And in fact, this big picture idea of Hebrews as a whole is that Jesus is better. Jesus is the one that really works. He's better than the old temple system. He's better, a better sacrifice than the blood of bulls and goats. He's a better priest than the Old Testament priest. We even get some strong hints of that just in our little portion that we've looked at today. In verse 18, the old regulation, which was given by God to the people. They were to do it. They were told to do it. And yet we're told it was weak and useless. Or perhaps better translated, weak and ineffective. It couldn't make people right before God. Not really. It couldn't deal truly with our problem of sin before a holy God. But now, verse 18, we have a better hope and a better covenant because we have a better intercessor, a better, powerful, effective priest. Well, why is Jesus the better intercessor? Why is he the better priest? Well, it's there in chapter 7. First, because he lives forever. He's able to intercede for his people for all time. Death will not disrupt his intercession. That was the great problem in the Old Testament, wasn't it? The high priest who was able to bring the people before God as a go-between, he kept dying. Jesus has been raised back to life and will never die again. He always lives to intercede for us. So he's the better high priest. And not only that, his sacrifice is also better. If we were to read just a few verses on in Hebrews chapter 7, we'd see that unlike the Old Testament priest, Jesus didn't need to first offer a sacrifice for himself, for his own sin, because he didn't have any sin, and then offer a sacrifice for the people. He just offered the one perfect sacrifice of himself. Holy, blameless, pure, and set apart. And this he only needed to offer once. Once for all time to purify his people before God. He's the better priest. He's the better sacrifice. And so Jesus is truly able to intercede for us. To stand holy and blameless before the Father and represent us. And his sacrifice is powerful and effective once and for all. He is the forever priest, raised to life, defeating death, able to intercede for us for all time. And so the conclusion in verse 25 there, therefore he can save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. That's the first great truth about what Jesus is doing now. He's interceding for us before the Father, the perfect, powerful and effective go-between, between us sinners and a holy God. And so we can approach the very throne room of God with confidence. We can draw near to God with confident hope because Jesus is right now interceding for us. But there's another part to his intercession also, and we see this more clearly in the passage from John. This passage is commonly known as the high priestly prayer of Jesus. It's picking up again on that priesthood of Jesus, his job as intercessor. And this passage shows us a picture of Jesus praying for his disciples, interceding not just for our greatest need for forgiveness, but also for our daily needs. Our need for protection and encouragement and unity in a world that is hostile to Jesus and hostile to his followers. Jesus is right now, this morning, in the throne room of God and using his influence as the reigning King of Kings and the one who's holding all things together, as the one who is the head over the church, to pray for us, his people. To remember us before the Father who loves us. This prayer that we're reading from John 17, it was prayed by Jesus when he was here on earth, before he went to the cross. But it's the same context as what Greg preached from last week when we looked at him preparing a place for us. This prayer is spoken the night before Jesus goes to the cross. It is just over the horizon. But isn't it interesting that Jesus could have gone off on his own and prayed as he often did to his Father and lifted up his disciples? I'm sure he did that often. He could have in the garden that night just said a quiet prayer in his own mind between him and God for his followers. But here on this night, he didn't. Instead, he prayed for his disciples. And by that I don't mean just that he prayed for their needs and brought them before the Father, but actually he prayed for them to hear him. He prayed for them to listen in. He prayed for them to be encouraged by what he said. That is, Jesus wanted his disciples to know that he intercedes for them. He lifts up their needs before the Father who loves them. And I think we can have that same confidence as well, because if you keep reading on in John 17, we'd see that Jesus goes on to pray for all people who will come to believe in him, even those like you and me who hadn't even been born yet. Jesus, the person of influence, who can access the very throne room of God, he uses that influence to lift up our needs before the Father who loves us. So what's Jesus up to now? Well, he's busy this very day at prayer, at interceding for us, at bringing our needs before the Father, personally and intimately. The King of Heaven, the one who's holding all things together in his hand, the one who is head of this church and every church. The power and the majesty of this person of Jesus, in the last few weeks, it may have seemed that he's so far above us, he's distant, he's unreachable. And yet here we see this intimacy of the King of Kings praying for us, praying for you and me, praying for protection, praying for unity, praying for oneness of love and purpose and mission. And praying that we would hold on to the truth. How amazing is it? How encouraging is it when you get to pray together with a friend and they pray for you? Well, how much more when that friend is the King of Heaven, who knows our every need? So be encouraged this morning, brothers and sisters. You're not alone. You're not carrying your burden unaided. You're not unseen in your grief, your loneliness, your confusion or concern, because Jesus is alive. And right now, he is working as the perfect priest, the effective intercessor, and he's lifting you and me up before the God, the Father, who loves us. But wait, there's more. It actually gets even more intimate when we realise the depths of this truth, that because Jesus is interceding for us this day, we are invited to draw near to God with a confident hope, because we have this effective go-between, this powerful and effective priest. The amazing truth is that because Jesus is a priest forever, the forever priest before God, the effective go-between, we are able to speak directly to God. We are able to cry out the cries of our hearts, our praise, our thanksgiving, our requests and needs, and all of it is heard by God the Father who loves us, received by him with great joy, even though we are sinners and he is a holy God, because we have an effective go-between. This is Jesus' work too. And it's why we often pray in the name of Jesus or through Jesus Christ our Lord, recognising that we can't reach our holy God alone, but through Jesus Christ we can draw near. We are invited and welcomed to draw near right into the heavenly throne room of our heavenly and almighty Father. Isn't that amazing? You know, this privilege is not just for our own good alone, but for the good of our neighbours and community and the world. Let me explain. For we are called into the same mission of Jesus. We are called priests in several passages in the Bible, in 1 Peter and in Revelation. God's people, Jesus' people, are called priests. That is, we are sent out into the world to be the go-between between God and the world, to lift up the world's needs through Jesus before a God who loves them. We come in the name of Jesus, and that makes us people of influence in the world, because our prayers are not merely wishful thinking or hope against hope. Our prayers are powerful and effective because we come in the name of Jesus, our forever priest. We have a voice in the throne room of God in the way that our community and the world does not, unless they too come through the name of Jesus. Our God is awesome and powerful and ready to act through the prayers of his people for the transformation and the good of our community, our family, our nation, our world. And even this is Jesus' work, as he intercedes this day for us. And so, friends, we should use this influence. We should use this amazing access that we have to God, that Jesus has won for us, to intercede for people who don't yet know him, to pray for and lift up the concerns of our world, our family, our friends, our neighbours, to bring before God the brokenness and the desperate need that we see around us, to call on God to heal and transform and save, for him to make fruitful the work of mission, the work of organisations like BCA that we're celebrating specially today. And very soon, you're going to hear from Bishop Matt in the next probably couple of weeks as he launches his new diocesan prayer adventure. Isn't that a cool title? A prayer adventure. A call for each of us to commit to be praying for three people each day for a year. Speaking to God about people before we then look to speak to people about God. So look out for that announcement coming in the next couple of weeks, that invitation to be involved in this prayer adventure. Grab a bookmark and write down three people's names and get praying for them. Because we are invited to use the influence we have through Jesus, that our prayer is powerful and effective, to intercede for our world, to be priests, little p priests, to lift up before the Father who loves us, our needs and the needs we see around us. So what's Jesus doing now? Well, he's busy at work, praying for oneness and protection and for us to hold on to the truth. He's interceding for us in the presence of God the Father as the better and effective and forever high priest. And because of that, he's calling us to draw near to him, to draw near to God with confidence, and to intercede for our loved ones and for our community and the world. As Jesus intercedes for us this day, our prayers in his name are powerful and effective to change the world as they're received with great joy in the very throne room of Almighty God. Amen.